This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. The country is looking back on the life and legacy of former President Jimmy Carter, who died Sunday at the age of 100. ABC's Andrew Dimbert has more on the tributes pouring in.
President-elect Trump saying the challenges Jimmy faced as president came at a pivotal time for our country, and he did everything in his power to improve the lives of all Americans. For that, we all owe him a debt of gratitude. Earlier this year, Carter's grandson revealed his grandfather was holding on to cast his vote for Kamala Harris. The vice president writing in a statement, "His life and legacy continue to inspire me and will inspire generations to come."
In an address Sunday evening, President Biden called Carter a remarkable leader who lived a life measured not by words, but by his deeds. Biden was the first U.S. senator to endorse Carter's run for president in 1976. American investigators are now on their way to South Korea in an effort to help with the investigation into that plane crash that killed 179 people over the weekend. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Batman fans eagerly awaiting the second installment of the new franchise will have to tap the brakes. Variety reports that the Matt Reeves-directed Batman 2 has been delayed a year and will now hit theaters in 2027. The film was originally slated for an IMAX release that would hit theaters October 2nd of 2026. Warner Brothers has announced that taking those screens will be a new Tom Cruise film that they are hoping to get on the big screen to qualify for the 2026 Oscar season. Here's one of Pete's picks. The Order, starring Jude Law as an FBI agent tracking a white supremacist group, is a really solid watch. Based on a true story from the 1980s, Law tracks the gang as they rob banks and set bombs off, terrorizing the Pacific Northwest. The film has good action and is a great detective story. The Order also stars Nicholas Hoult as the leader of the criminal group, Ty Sheridan as a local sheriff's deputy, and Journey Smollett as an FBI agent. The film has been a hit with critics and audiences alike. Strongly recommend. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Packers fall short in Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers scored 3 touchdowns in the second half, but came up short, losing to the Vikings at US Bank Stadium 27-25. Green Bay swept this season by both the Lions and the Vikings. Do the Packers still think they're on the same level as those teams? Green Bay safety Xavier McKinney.
I want to say yeah, but right now the story is we haven't beat those teams. So I can't sit up here and say, yeah, we're on the same level if we ain't beat them.
The Vikings finished 7-1 at home this season. Quarterback Sam Darnold.
You know, we executed at a high level. Obviously a lot of things to correct, but overall, man, it was a great team effort, obviously against a really, really good Packers team.
So the Vikings face the Lions in Detroit on Sunday night. The Packers will host the Bears Sunday at noon. Men's college hockey, Wisconsin beating UConn 4-3 to win the title in the holiday faceoff over the weekend at Five Serve Forum in Milwaukee. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, what does former FBI and CIA Director William Webster have to say about Cash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard? Also, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay, on the rise of homelessness and political exhaustion. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Foggy this morning, cloudy all day today with a high right around 40 this afternoon. Tonight will be cloudy with a low of 29. Tomorrow, some scattered snow showers with a high of 36. It's going to get colder later this week in the teens and 20s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding a unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Appleton-based comedian John Egan into the studio. Then Chicago comedians Bill Gorgo and Jim McHugh join the show to promote a New Year's Eve extravaganza in Port Washington. Let's light it up.
Weeknights from 6 till 8.
The Zone.
Good morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff, and you're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. More patchy fog expected in much of Wisconsin this Monday morning, and very high humidity with small chances of some mixed precipitation. The eastern side of the state along Lake Michigan might actually see some sunshine peeking through today with less humid conditions. We'll have a full forecast later this morning with our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. Also today, we'll visit with some award-winning young farmers about how they've stood out with conservation and farm diversification. Before that, we'll learn more about how you can protect your farm from the highly pathogenic avian influenza, starting with following a law that's already in place. Speaking of the bird flu, a dairy broker will give us some insight into the impact the virus has had on milk production. It's all right here.
You see the headlines all the time. Consumers confused by food labels. Well, not if they shop at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here, asking you to take a closer look at the food labels at Bavaria Sausage. You know, they are working towards making sure when you take a look at whatever product they've got in the store, you know exactly what it is. They're using different colors. They're also making sure that there's a picture on that label to help you better understand the protein source that you're looking at. It's all about making sure they're combining the old world flavors, the artisan blends, and making sure that you understand when there's something new in the showcase, what is it and where did it come from? Simple information, easily understood. And of course, there's always someone there to answer your questions if you've got them. Bavaria Sausage at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, located also online, BavariaSausage.com. Old recipes, new labels. Take a look.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up seed treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
For many, the holiday season is a time of joy and happiness, where you get the chance to be with friends and family. But for some, this time of year elicits other feelings. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo, and Stephanie Hoff had a talk with Susan Springer, the founder of Suicide Prevention of Southwest Wisconsin, on what some of these feelings are and how you can help someone who's grieving or feeling lonely, as well as tips to help yourself to get through this holiday season.
Everything you see on TV or all those Hallmark commercials and movies, that everything's happy and content, and that can be triggering, you're right. And not everybody has the ideal family. Not everybody has the ideal bank account to be able to fit into all of the wishes for Christmas, and it can cause depression and stress. But then there's also people that are lonely and don't have the family support or friends, and there's also people that are grieving, that have lost someone. And it's hard to be happy over the holidays when you've lost a loved one that you wish was there with you.
Let's start with loneliness, Susan, because, I mean, you can't control that if you're not close to family or friends and you are alone during the holiday season. What do you do if that's the case?
Yeah, there's actually quite a few things they can do. Loneliness, if you kind of go out and search out people. So some people don't have family. Some people don't have friends, maybe close friends that they feel that they can talk to. But most small towns and even larger places, there is a gathering place in the morning where people have coffee maybe and talk, or maybe play cards in the afternoon. Maybe it's a gas station. Maybe it's a feed mill. Maybe it's a seed dealer. And you can get together and talk then to those people and kind of connect. Share your feelings as much as you're comfortable with. You don't have to tell the full life story. But you can even just say something as simple as, you're like, you know what, I've been pretty lonely around the holidays. It feels good to come in, have coffee with you guys or play cards. But you have to remember to ask for what you need because nobody has a crystal ball. We can't read anybody's mind. If you need to say, like, hey, wife, whoever it may be, significant other, could you make my favorite dessert, which would be blah, 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 for the holidays? Or I just need a hug right now. Or even just, hey, to a friend who's another male, hey, can you just drive around in the truck with me today? I'm going to kind of check fence lines or go to this sale. And I just would really like to have somebody with me so I'm not alone. Just you have to ask for what you need and honor those feelings, because those feelings that you're having are normal. And what you're having them, and due to the situations you've been through, whatever it may be in your life, they're normal. And it's okay. Just have to remember to take care of yourself.
Yeah, it's normal. So don't feel like you got to act tough for anybody, right? Because you're only hurting yourself in that instance.
Right, right. And it, like I said, you don't have to open up your heart and pour out all of your feelings. You can say simple things like, hey, do you want to go for a ride with me in the truck? Hey, can I have a hug? Can you make my favorite dinner or dessert? But self-care, just take care of yourself and have realistic expectations. Say, for example, the holidays have always been tough because maybe your family's not close. Don't expect this year that they're magically, everybody's going to be loving and close and they're all going to get along. Maybe drive separate. And if you need to leave, give yourself that space and leave if you need to. Leave early.
So if you're the outsider, I guess, are there things that I, for example, should notice in people that maybe a sign that they're not doing well this holiday season? Maybe you have three key things to watch for to make sure that people are doing okay.
Well, a lot of times in our communities, we kind of know somebody that might not have a lot of family around or maybe has had a loss in their family. So you kind of already know those things. But if somebody is not interacting in things that they used to find joyful, maybe it's somebody that used to come to the coffee group or play cards and now they're pulling back and they're not doing that anymore. Maybe it's somebody that used to always look really put together with their hair done and their clothes are clean and, you know, they're very bubbly and outgoing, but then now they're looking a little bit more disheveled, they're not as well kept, they're isolating themselves or pulling back. If you say hi, it's just a quick hi back instead of a friendly story and a laugh like it used to be. Something that's just off from their normal would definitely be something to be looking for. And then reach out, and you might not know what to say, but you can invite them to a social event. Hey, we still play cards on Tuesday at 3 o'clock or whatever. Have them go for a ride with you in the truck or go to a sale or an auction or something like that. Or maybe even just walk around your local farmer's store and look at some stuff, and just to spend time with somebody is what they need.
Now, Susan, you also mentioned the holidays are a tricky time of year for people who are grieving. Maybe it's the first year without grandpa at the dinner table. Maybe it's the first year without dad. If someone is going through that, what should they do? Maybe to prepare themselves for how they might feel come Christmas Day.
Right. And the first couple years after loss is extremely hard. And people just want to sleep through the whole day. They don't even want it to come. And they'll start being anxious about it. Like as soon as December, like December 1st, it's like, oh no, this is, you know, the Christmas month and it's going to be terrible. Try to keep busy, definitely. But don't do anything more than you want to. Like I said, if you feel like you really have to go to the family gathering or a Christmas party for work or the implement, go, but drive separate. So if you need to leave or feel you want to leave, or if you're feeling sadness come on, because some stuff like that, sometimes you can just start crying from either a song or something you see, or maybe a story somebody tells you about your loved one that passed away. And that's what you want to hear. You want to hear the stories, but sometimes they can trigger tears. And then that sometimes makes you want to leave. So have a backup. Make sure that you have a vehicle there or a way, somebody that you rode with that will leave at the drop of the hat if you request them to. So you don't have to stay.
You know, personally, Susan, sometimes I feel awkward approaching someone who is grieving. You don't know what to say. You don't know, you know, how you just don't know how to approach the subject during their difficult time.
Right.
So again, for someone, for the outsider, what are some strategies to be a better
friend,
relative, friend, coworker?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Stephanie. Exactly what you just said. don't try to minimize it like, oh, you know, it'll be fine in a couple years or your grief will go away. You'll get back to normal. Don't minimize it. But just you can even say, I don't know how you're feeling, but I'm here for you. You can give them a hug. As simple as that. If that's something that your relationship would allow, you can give them a hug or a pat on the back. But just keep including them in things. Because as a person that lost and is grieving, you feel awkward too. You feel awkward when people avoid you, and you can recognize it and notice it. And you really want to hear stories about your loved one. But the hard part is it also triggers tears a lot of times. So that's when you as an outsider can just put your arm around him and pat him on the back, you know, and just say, I don't know what you're going through, but I'm here for you.
Yeah, it's simple gestures of caring. We're not asking anyone to go above and beyond here.
No, that is right. That is right. Just do what you feel you can do. And maybe that is buy a bag of groceries and leave it off on their front step. Anonymously, like a random act of kindness. Because when you're in grief like that, you don't feel like going to the store. You don't feel like getting out of bed. You don't feel like getting dressed. So even something simple like not waiting for them to ask you, because I know like during funerals and stuff, people always say, oh, whatever you need, you let me know. You just tell me, I'll be there for you. When you're in that situation, you're grieving, you're so far beyond that you can't even think straight to say, oh, well, I need supper for the next couple of weeks because I cannot even function. So just dropping off a meal or organizing some friends or neighbors to do meals and kind of break it up and everybody bring one every other day or weekly or whatever. That really helps too.
Springer wants to remind everyone that you will get through this holiday season and you will come out tougher on the other end. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
News from the center, WRCE. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
UW System spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people at Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW System.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Salvia.
Next time, what does former FBI and CIA Director William Webster have to say about Cash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard? Also, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay, on the rise of homelessness and political exhaustion. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
And Arias has the details.
Actually, before I even started, I sat in on a meeting to hear like the ultimate doom and gloom.
8 million boxes. It was like the worst crop in since what, 1985. Thankfully, it has not been as bad as what was originally anticipated. We certainly have seen tough yield in some locations and better than average yields in others. Mother Nature, she's doing whatever she wants.
Pacific Northwest pear growers produce about 80% of the nation's pears. Despite the smaller crop, Carrie Ann Arias says pears are still expected to be a great eating experience for consumers, and she's hearing good things about the trees right now for next year's crop. And now let's take a look at the weather here at home. It's time now for our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update with our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. Stu, our conversations seem to always start with a little fog lately. And I suppose that's not changing today, is it?
Not really. If we can blame you, then we know where it's coming from. But I don't suppose we can do that.
Don't blame me.
All right. But yeah, we do have more fog. Of course, it just really, really warmed up. And that's melted off snow cover and has taken some frost out of the topsoil somewhat to a point. But we do have a lot of moisture in the low levels of the atmosphere. And that results in fog. The dense fog advisory until noon today. Rock County, Dane County, Columbia County, Green Lake, Marquette, Washera, and further north up through Wausau, all the way back to Park Falls, all under that dense fog advisory till noon. In the east, we may not have as much. It'll catch up. We'll get some fog here yet before the day is out. Low pressure has made its way on toward western Nebraska, and I expect that system to drop down toward Kansas, Missouri, southern Illinois late tonight into tomorrow. There's a band of rainfall in southwest parts of South Dakota, northern Nebraska, freezing rain and freezing fog and snow, central and northern South Dakota. That activity, that precipitation, will become a possibility in Wisconsin, mostly in the very far south, and that may happen quite late tonight or on into Tuesday. Not going to amount to much of anything, way less than an inch of snow if we even see it accumulate. Just a little mix of activity in the south, and otherwise temperatures now are starting to cool down. One thing that happens as we cool down, fog will become a lot less of something we talk about, a lot less fog possibility as our temperatures start to cool back to more normal levels and maybe even a little below. I'm looking here toward the upcoming weekend when we may find our way only into the upper teens for daytime highs. That's really below normal all of a sudden. I'll have more forecast details right after this.
You see the headlines all the time. Consumers confused by food labels. Well, not if they shop at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here, asking you to take a closer look at the food labels at Bavaria Sausage. You know, they are working towards making sure when you take a look at whatever product they've got in the store, you know exactly what it is. They're using different colors. They're also making sure that there's a picture on that label to help you better understand the protein source that you're looking at. It's all about making sure they're combining the old world flavors, the artisan blends, and making sure that you understand when there's something new in the showcase, what is it and where did it come from? Simple information, easily understood. And of course, there's always someone there to answer your questions if you've got them. Bavaria Sausage at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, located also online, BavariaSausage.com. Old recipes, new labels. Take a look.
Well, Stu, I know when the fog lifts, that'll make driving, commuting a little bit easier. I did not like the idea of small chances of mixed precipitation. Any of that going to be measurable, or do you think it'll stay just that small?
It's going to be very small. You know, you might be able to measure a half inch, maybe a little sloppiness, some freezing on here and there. Let's start out with that Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update with the dense fog advisory, western and central Wisconsin till noon, and otherwise mostly cloudy skies. No doubt about that today. The clouds stubborn to leave. Temps are only going to make their way into the mid and even upper 30s with the west winds only about 5. Fog, maybe a little freezing fog in the south. There may be snowflakes or a little rain, maybe some freezing fog late in the night. In the north, just cloudy skies. Temps in the 20s overnight. 30 may be the warmest in the south. By Tuesday, that small rain snow chance in southern, maybe eastern Wisconsin late in the day. Still cloudy skies, low and mid 30s. And by Wednesday, partly sunny skies. We start to dry it out a bit. It does cool down, low to mid 20s for highs on New Year's Day. And after that, we just cool off right for the weekend, Stephanie. So winter is going to make a return.
Well, Stu, I'm looking forward to spending New Year's Eve morning with you tomorrow, recapping the forecast to ring in the new year. That's your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Learn more at compeer.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Selling your cattle is easy with American Foods Group, a family-owned company bringing you the best prices and expertise right from the dairy, ranch, feed yard, or local market. Call today at 800-345-0293 or email info@AmericanFoodsGroup.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A 2023 decision in an Arkansas redistricting case found individual voters did not have a private right of action to challenge the maps. The state of Louisiana tried the same tactic in its chaotic gerrymandering case, but was refused on June 24th. Be looking for another challenge in 2025. Defying precedent, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals held in a 2023 Arkansas racial gerrymandering case that individual voters do not have a private right of action under the VRA Section 2. It said only the U.S. Justice Department could bring such cases, despite individuals having filed 90% of previous challenges. Calling it radical, scholars expected it to be quickly overturned, but this January, the full Eighth Circuit refused to rehear the case. Seeing an opening, Louisiana asked the full Fifth Circuit to rehear its gerrymandering case on the same grounds, with 13 other Republican attorneys general urging a no private right of action decision. In a close vote Monday, the Fifth Circuit refused that rehearing. For now, the Eighth Circuit decision still only affects Arkansas, Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota. But it's clear that private right of action is the new battleground and will almost certainly reach the U.S. Supreme Court. We've linked to more on the private right of action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Mike DeBusky. The country is looking back on the life and legacy of former President Jimmy Carter, who died Sunday at the age of 100. ABC's Andrew Dimbert has more on the tributes pouring in.
President-elect Trump saying the challenges Jimmy faced as president came at a pivotal time for our country, and he did everything in his power to improve the lives of all Americans. For that, we all owe him a debt of gratitude. Earlier this year, Carter's grandson revealed his grandfather was holding on to cast his vote for Kamala Harris. The vice president writing in a statement, "His life and legacy continue to inspire me and will inspire generations to come."
In an address Sunday evening, President Biden called Carter a remarkable leader who lived a life measured not by words, but by his deeds. Biden was the first U.S. senator to endorse Carter's run for president in 1976. American investigators are now on their way to South Korea in an effort to help with the investigation into that plane crash that killed 179 people over the weekend. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's one of Pete's picks, Wisconsin. Check out the film Conclave. The film tells the story of the cardinals converging on Rome to select the next pope. Ray Fiennes is our access character who manages the whole scene as potential candidates jockey for position to become the next pontiff. Lots of unexpected twists and great storytelling. In addition to Fiennes, the film stars John Lithgow, Stanley Tucci, and Isabella Rossellini. Just under 2 hours, but doesn't feel like it. Check it out. So much TV to watch, so little time. If you're a horror fan, check out TheWrap.com's recent list of the best horror episodic TV shows from 2024, which include AMC's Interview with a Vampire Season 2, Paramount Plus's Last Season of Evil, which The Wrap called an almost perfect show. Walking Dead fans will be thrilled to hear that Rick and Michonne's show, The Ones Who Live, was also on the list, as was a show many horror fans have talked about called What We Do in the Shadows. Check out the full list and watch them all.
For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Packers fall short in Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers scored 3 touchdowns in the second half, but came up short, losing to the Vikings at US Bank Stadium 27-25. Green Bay swept this season by both the Lions and the Vikings. Do the Packers still think they're on the same level as those teams? Green Bay safety Xavier McKinney.
I want to say yeah, but right now the story is we haven't beat those teams. So I can't sit up here and say, yeah, we're on the same level if we ain't beat them.
The Vikings finished 7-1 at home this season. Quarterback Sam Darnold.
You know, we executed at a high level. You know, obviously a lot of things to correct, but overall, man, it was a great team effort, obviously against a really, really good Packers team.
So the Vikings face the Lions in Detroit on Sunday night. The Packers will host the Bears Sunday at noon. Men's college hockey, Wisconsin beating UConn 4-3 to win the title in the holiday faceoff over the weekend at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Appleton-based comedian John Egan into the studio. Then Chicago comedians Bill Gorgo and Jim McHugh join the show to promote a New Year's Eve extravaganza in Port Washington. Let's light it up.
Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Foggy this morning, cloudy all day today with a high right around 40 this afternoon. Tonight will be cloudy with a low of 29. Tomorrow, some scattered snow showers with a high of 36. It's going to get colder later this week in the teens and 20s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about saving money when you are renting a car. So you know how you get to the rental counter and then they ask you if you want to prepay for gas so you don't have to bring the car back full? Well, I used to get sweaty in those moments as I wasn't sure what the right money choice was. Prepaying for gas at the rental counter? Not worth it. First off, rental companies often charge more per gallon on the prepay than local gas stations do at the pump. And even if they're about equal, fees or taxes on your rental can tip the scales against prepaying. And you'd have to return that car completely empty to get the full value of buying prepaid gas. Otherwise, you're just buying gas for Avis and Budget or whoever. Quick note, make sure you have time to refill the tank before you return the rental. If you don't prepay and you don't fill up, they are going to charge you like they have refilled that car with liquid gold. For more tips, head to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Almaz Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. 3 times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Almaz Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey K., a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments, and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody. through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Him again. What was up with that? Yeah.
Well, I don't know what was up with that.
Welcome back on a Monday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff, and you're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. Today is December 30th. Here's what's happening in the old Farmer's Almanac. If you turn to the astrology section of the book, it says that based on the moon, today is going to be a good day to start any logging projects. It also says that it's a good day to pour concrete. And here's why. Right now, we are in a waning moon phase, and it's thought that trees have less sap at this time. Less sap leads to wood that dries faster and is less prone to warping, cracking, or insect damage. And I feel like since they threw concrete in there, maybe concrete will also dry faster today. Let me know if you decide to start any of those projects today. In other news this morning, Wisconsin has had three poultry flocks contract the bird flu this month in Burnett, Kenosha, and Barron counties, and one human case in Barron County. Whether you've got 3,000 cows or three chickens, remember to update your premise ID if you have livestock. This helps the state alert farms and come up with a resource plan when there is an animal disease outbreak. Julie Sweeney is the executive director of the Wisconsin Livestock Identification Consortium. They keep these records. She reminds us it's actually state law to have and update a premise ID.
It is a law in the state of Wisconsin that you have to register your premises if you have livestock on it. But it's very simple and it's free. And the only information we need to know is your basic contact information. So your phone number, your email, both of which to make it easy enough to contact you, especially if there would be a disease outbreak or if there's anything concerning in the area. And then to also know what livestock you have. We don't care what breed you have. We don't care how many you have. It's important to simply know that whether you have horses or dairy cattle, beef cattle, goats, sheep, whether it's bison, llamas, alpacas, various livestock, that's what we're looking for. A few things to note, we do not register rabbits or mink or dogs or cats. Sometimes those questions come up.
You could be a commercial producer or it could be a 4-H project for the county fair.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, some people might not think that if they have one chicken in their backyard that they should also register, but we do need to register anybody that would have even just one backyard chicken. We also register individuals that have ponds with fish in them. So if you're a fish farmer, we also want to register your premises.
Now is the time that the Wisconsin Livestock Identification Consortium is really pushing the message out there because you're in your renewal season.
If you think about the database that we manage as kind of your go-to phone book, you're not going to have the same contact information in there as you did, say, 2, 3, 4 years ago. So right now we're in what we call the renewal year, where we contact everybody that has a premise registration and make sure that their information's up to date. For many individuals, not much information has changed at all, but in this case that for some people, they changed where they're renting a facility, or they no longer have animals on their property, or a father, mother, individual handed down the property or the ownership to another family member. So we just want to make sure that we get all of the updated information into the database, and that if cell phone numbers change or emails have changed, that we get that all in there so we have a really good up-to-date dynamic system that's easy to use and up-to-date when things happen. So we're starting with a big email push where we're sending small batches of emails to many of the premises registrants. So not everybody has received the email yet. We're kind of working our way through that at a manageable pace, but anybody is welcome to contact the office. They don't have to wait for that email either. Anybody that would contact us and update their information is simply updated, then they won't get that notification. They'll be good to go. And after we work through all the emails, then we'll work with everybody that doesn't have an email on file. So everybody would save us a lot of effort in sending a letter and stuffing it in an envelope with the stamp if they would want to simply contact us, whether it is via a phone call, an email, or otherwise. we welcome anybody to reach out to us if they have any questions or just want to get it out of the way.
Can they do this online, like through the website? Is there a way to do it there?
Oh, you bet. They can definitely do it online. Our website is www.wiid.org. And that WIID is Wisconsin ID. So if you want to think of it that way, so WIID.org.
And the reason that you guys exist, as you outlined for us, is if there is an animal disease outbreak, you are the confidential resource for the state to say, hey, can you let people know that we have a problem?
Absolutely. If there's something that's happening, DATCAP has all the information at their fingertips. Do you know that years ago, they used to have to drive around and stop door to door to figure out if there were animals on the property or communicate the message at the time? Because that was just the most efficient way that they could do it. Now they have the resources where they can send an email, or if they need to send out like a automated message, that they have that information, they can do that. So definitely don't ignore those calls or emails. It also helps DATCAP be able to evaluate the level of risk. They have this data at their fingertips to understand, well, how densely populated in this particular area are there dairy farms or poultry farms, especially in light of avian influenza impacting both poultry and dairy cattle right now. So fortunately, it's not an issue in Wisconsin, knock on wood that it doesn't become one. But if it should, having this information be up to date is just so crucial for DATCAP.
And if you have new contact information, new animals, or a new address, be sure to update that information with the Wisconsin Livestock Identification Consortium. Executive Director Julie Sweeney says it's as easy as visiting WIID.org. Your information is confidential and used to alert your farm if there is an animal disease outbreak that impacts you. While Wisconsin has had 3 cases in poultry and 1 case in a human, our dairy cattle have not contracted the virus. That's not the case in other states. California is in a state of emergency for bird flu on dairy farms. We'll talk about what it's done to milk production next.
Here at the Midwest Farm Report, we are paying attention to what you are listening to. In case you missed it, here are your top 5 stories from last week. At number 5, unique Wisconsin foods and the workforce that makes it possible. Number 4, behind the holidays with chocolates, puppies, and local agriculture. Number 3, secure border and ag labor. Can we have the best of both worlds? At number 2, holiday season brings market slowdown. And at number 1, hunt clubs, historic tractors, and ag tourism, a Wisconsin tradition.
And you can find those top stories at MidwestFarmReport.com. Just click on our podcast page. And other news this week. California's governor has proclaimed a state of emergency to accelerate the state's response to H5N1, otherwise known as the bird flu or the highly pathogenic avian influenza. The action came as cases were detected in dairy cows on farms in Southern California. The state is trying to expand monitoring and contain the spread. Meanwhile, California milk production is taking a hit. Colin Artema is a dairy broker and analyst with the EverEgg team. He's based out of Chicago. He says despite the latest milk production report, the spot market has been moving slow. Now this is due to the holiday stretch where even traders are taking time off with their families. But the latest milk production report is the center of conversation. It was bullish because of California's drop in milk production, but that could change if they get a grasp on the bird flu. I'll let Colin explain.
I think in the foreseeable future, it could be a little bearish. So starting off with California, their numbers came in at negative 9.2% compared to 2023. This could be an argument that, yes, we will stay relatively higher heading into Q1. But what's interesting, if you factor out California, we would be at plus 0.7 nationally year over year. So once California recovers, and it seems like they will start to, it seems like this was the worst month for their bird flu, but the class 3 market could potentially fall.
Colin Artema, a broker and analyst with EverEgg. Now let's take a look at our dairy markets on a Monday morning. From Chicago, the January class 3 milk contract is a nickel lower at $20.07. The February contract is also down a nickel at $20.44. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese, which was higher on the close Friday. Barrel cheese up 2¾ cents at $1.76¾, and the 40-pound block cheese up a penny and a quarter at $1.87¼. Grain prices are seeing strength coming out of the weekend. Cash corn up 2 cents at $4.56 a bushel. 2025 new crop corn is up a penny and three quarters at $4.42½. Cash soybeans are up a nickel at $9.85 a bushel. And 2025 new crop soybeans are up 3¾ cents at $10.08¼. Cash wheat is up 2 cents at $5.48½. And July new crop wheat is up a penny and three quarters at $5.65½. This weekend, the United States said goodbye to former President Jimmy Carter. He passed away yesterday at the age of 100. Carter served as the 39th president of the United States from 1977 to 1981. Upon his death, he was the longest living former American president in our nation's history. In 2002, President Carter was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Some of the things that President Jimmy Carter was known for were his dedication to peace, human rights, and addressing climate change. The American and Wisconsin flags will fly at half staff across the state for 30 days following the death of a former president of the United States. We'll talk more about how Wisconsin farmers are engaging in environmental sustainability in just a moment. Don't touch that dial.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people at Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Selvia.
Next time, what does former FBI and CIA Director William Webster have to say about Cash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard? Also, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay, on the rise of homelessness and political exhaustion. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Coming for the Future Award.
We raise corn, soybeans, wheat, alfalfa, and we raise Simmental beef cattle. We've been married since 2019. I've been farming since I got out of high school. Eliza and I have started the beef farm together.
So we have about 30 Simmental beef cows that are the, I would say, one of the more profitable verticals on our farm at this point in time. But we, as Jacob said, we also have corn and soybeans, and we farm about 180 acres in La Prairie Township. And Jacob also farms with his parents, Janet Lauren Bobles. They live next door to us, so we have a pretty good arrangement there with them.
Farming for the Future Award, what puts you guys into the running for that?
So the Farming for the Future Award looks at your goals as your operation, the challenges that you're facing as you move forward in your farming operation. And then there's an interview portion, there's an application portion, and it just kind of takes some future leaders into a group, and you get to talk through your operation, you get to talk through what your challenges are. And it's really a great opportunity for the Farm Bureau to recognize those farmers who may have challenges but are working through them to continue farming tomorrow.
And let's talk about that. What are some of the top challenges facing your farm today into the new year?
High input prices. Access to land is always a challenge. Depressed commodity prices. The same old adage that's been at farming for years. The same problems we're facing, the same problems my father has faced, the same problems my grandfather faced, but we'll just work together to overcome them. Farm Bureau is a great advocate for agriculture to help bring stability to an industry that really needs it.
Farming is inherently a risky business. It's volatile, and some of the biggest impacts on the farm are things you can't control, like the weather. Tell me how your farm has adapted or adjusted to some of these challenges to provide future opportunity.
So for us, it's been through diversification. So because we have different verticals that have different strengths in our organization, we've got the cropland that uses really fertile ground that requires high input costs, balanced with our beef cattle production that is on the less profitable ground. That we can then create stable income for our family. So diversification has really been a big thing for us in making sure that we can continue farming into the future.
Are there programs or networks that you guys utilize off the farm? Maybe it's through Farm Bureau or maybe it's not, that has been helpful to you that you recommend other farmers look into?
Farm Bureau, definitely. Participating in this contest, you get to know the other contestants, and all the contestants are very deserving of this award. You get to talk back and forth what's working for them, what's working for us, and bounce ideas off each other. Just getting to network, the strength in numbers, I think, comes from when I first started farming. You know, in our neighborhood, there wasn't many young farmers, and you come to Farm Bureau where you get together with an organization of people just like me. It kind of gives you some hope for the future, you know, strength in numbers. I'm also involved in local watershed groups, Farmers on the Rock. It's nice when you get together with a group of people that's working together for the same cause, for the betterment of our environment, agricultural at large. It makes you feel good and gets you excited for the future and makes you want to work a little harder for the future than what you already are.
What drove you guys to get involved in a watershed group and make environmental sustainability a part of the farm business?
So I think as farmers, we do have a responsibility to farm sustainably and making sure that the land that we're farming right now is not ours forever. It wasn't ours when we started, and it won't be ours when we're gone. So we're just making sure that we leave resources intact for future people to farm it or live on it and be prosperous in the future. It's really important to protect that asset because it's finite. As the owners of our farm, we only have one chance to make sure that we're doing it the right way.
Can you give me an example of some of the things you've done on farm thanks to your collaboration with the Watershed Group?
Basically, a lot of the practices, even before we got involved in the Watershed Group, my grandfather was very, very into conservation. He used, on our farm, we still utilize contour strips. We use no-till. Most recently, we've been starting to utilize cover crops in more of our marginal ground, and we can also use those cover crops as feed for our cattle. We use a nutrient management plan to better manage the placements of our nutrients and crop rotations, big because some ground suitable for multiple years of corn on corn. Some's nice to have the diversification of crops, the crops that could help each other, benefit each other throughout the years.
You said one of the reasons you appreciate a farm network is because there's strength in numbers. Now, I know that comes in handy also at the state legislature and even in Congress over in D.C., what are some of those policies that you hope your ag advocacy organizations address in a new year?
So as a young family, I mean, we have a daughter who's two. One of our highest costs that we always kind of are looking at is health insurance costs, because if I were to quit my off-farm job to be able to be home farming full-time, we would lose our health insurance that we get through my workplace right now. So having affordable health care options is really important to us to give us opportunities in the future to manage our health care costs a little bit better. I know we've been watching as that has gone through the state legislature. Some conversations around Farm Bureau providing health insurance is one of the top priorities for us.
Anything else you wanted to add before I let you guys go?
Throughout the years of coming to this conference, you see a lot of people, deserving people, win this award, and it's an honor to be able to win this award. And basically get the message out there that farmers are putting their best foot forward. This is our livelihood. This is our legacy. We're trying to leave a better tomorrow for our children, for our children's children. Farmers aren't bad guys out there. We're just all trying to make a better future for everyone.
Jacob and Eliza Bobles along with us. They farm near Janesville, and they're the recipients of the 2024 Farming for the Future Award. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff. Thanks for tagging along with me on a Monday morning. I'll catch you back here same time tomorrow.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Young.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Paving the way to a carbon pipeline network for the upper Midwest. Next on Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back-to-back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com if you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Public utilities officials in both North Dakota and Minnesota recently approved plans for pipelines to transfer carbon to a proposed underground storage site in North Dakota. A company called Summit Carbon is planning a pipeline network connecting biorefineries like ethanol plants to that storage site. Tom Bias is CEO of the American Carbon Alliance, an industry advocate.
People need to understand the facts surrounding the carbon pipelines and what it will do, not just for the ethanol industry and not just for the farmer, but the rural communities. When the ethanol industry came along and created this whole new marketplace, you don't see those communities all dry up like we do in areas where they don't have that opportunity. And I think if people will keep that in perspective, then they and the regulators that help make these determinations will understand how important it is.
Bias says the pipeline will provide biofuels producers new opportunities.
And this type of change is so important for farmers and rural communities. This is about economic development and having markets that restore profitability to farmers, which the last couple of years has been going the wrong way.
Bias returns tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Appleton-based comedian John Egan into the studio. Then Chicago comedians Bill Gorgo and Jim McHugh join the show to promote a New Year's Eve extravaganza in Port Washington. Let's light it up.
Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Selling your cattle is easy with American Foods Group, a family-owned company bringing you the best prices and expertise right from the dairy, ranch, feed yard, or local market. Call today at 800-345-0293 or email info@AmericanFoodsGroup.com.
The Todd Alba Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants, three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people at Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments, and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on the show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center.
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Welcome to our morning show on WRCO Radio. We have a whole host of folks here in the studio with us. We're talking about GRACE, Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination, and looking ahead to 2025 with lots of special things going on. And joining us first is Alan Kasubski, who's looking forward to another race walk for GRACE. How are things going, Alan?
Good morning, Phil. It's going great. Yeah, so we're really excited again to do the second annual Race for GRACE. It'll be May 17th of next year, which will soon be this year. So it's almost 2025, so we're excited about that. But, you know, I just wanted to just talk briefly about the purpose for coming up with that event. And, you know, we with GRACE, we're always trying to raise funds to help people out battling cancer. So I wanted to create an event to a new event to raise funds, but also to focus on prevention. And we've been doing, you know, we've had a big